was your morning? What was on your heart when you woke up today? Maybe like some people, you rose this morning and you're unsure about what you'll face. Economic uncertainty floods your life, right? Will you have enough tomorrow or next year for what you'll need? As you head to work, all the conversation you hear is about the latest episode of racially inspired violence, or debating who's to blame for the most recent protest that turned into riots. Was it the person who threw the first rock? Was it the guard who overreacted? Everywhere there's the threat of terrorist activity. War seems actually imminent, and it hangs like a cloud in your life. A new leader is going to be selected, and the prospects of that going well, they seem pretty dim. By the end of the day, your head hurts, your heart aches, sleep is delayed by the feeling of panic rising in your heart. And people around you wondering what to do, how to face it, are losing hope. Some think the right leader in place will solve it. Some think better legislation will help it. Others want just a little law and order. And some are starting to think about revolution. Sound familiar? Sound like your world? Actually, what I've just described is the world of Palestine in the first century, in the days of Jesus. But it could be your world, couldn't it? Our world. Seems like every week you hear about a new threat of terror. The economy isn't exactly rebounding. We're, as a people, deeply divided. It's so apparent by racial and socioeconomic divisions. And violence is chosen more and more often as a solution. Now, in the big picture, we face diseases and suffering and injustice that we just don't seem to have answers to. The world is full of distress and confusion, injustice, suffering, hate, and it can make you want to panic. Which is why the words of Jesus are as relevant now as they were when he spoke them. Because in the midst of this world, our world, a world of panic, Jesus offers a path to a blessed life. Because he entered, he spoke his words in a world that was not that different from our own. And right now, today, I want you to see how in the midst of a crazy and violent and uncertain and desperate and panic-inducing world like ours, he said the most amazing thing. Look what he said 9 times. This is Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, 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 blessed. 9 times he says it. You may have heard these words before. These are the introductory words to what we call the Sermon on the Mount, which is the largest or longest collection or episode of the teaching of Jesus that we have. And today we're starting a new series on the Sermon on the Mount. And I thought this would be a good place to start, but I want you to see how it starts with this emphasis, with this promise, with this hope that your life can be blessed, that there's a path, there is a road, there's a way to a life offered by Jesus that is called blessed. And the whole rest of the Sermon on the Mount is going to detail that path. starts with this hope that in a world of distress, in a world of confusion, in a world of suffering, Jesus offers a path to living a blessed life. Jesus offers hope. It just requires some revolutionary thinking, which is why we've called this series Revolutionary. Because as we walk through this Sermon on the Mount, we're going to discover that Jesus had words that can be described in no other way. They hit us with this ferocious intensity. They are revolutionary. They'll turn your world upside down. The normal way, the regular way, the way of thinking that everybody else chooses, it won't get it done. And so it's why we're calling this series Revolutionary. And the first step, the first piece of revolutionary thinking that we have to absorb is what it means to be blessed. The very definition of a life or a living of what it is called to be blessed. Because the word blessed, it sounds religious, right? But when we use that word, we often use it in a context of religious sort of piety. But the word that the Greek writers use that translate into English as blessed here, it's a wide word. It's not just a religious word. In fact, it's a word that in our older English translation, some people, they translate it with the word happy. Happy. That's not quite it either, because when we hear the word happy, we're thinking about the way that we feel, right? We're thinking about having happy feelings. But as you read through what Jesus just described in the context of being blessed, that there are a lot of people who we wouldn't call happy. Like the very last verse, blessed are those who are persecuted. Are you happy when you're persecuted? Right? Earlier it said, blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. And we don't think of mourning as something that's happy, so there's something more going on. This word blessed, for the writers of the New Testament, it actually ends up meaning the good life. Having the good life. And sometimes there's a sense of envy actually attached to it. Having the life that others will look at and they will say, I want that life. That's the life that Jesus holds out. That's the life that he offers. So it's not about feeling. It's not about circumstances. And here we saw that the poor in spirit are blessed. The persecuted are blessed. The mourning ones are blessed. It's about more than that. And usually, when you and I are asked to list our blessings, you know, we list things like, well, you know, I'm blessed because my family is doing well. Or, you know, I'm blessed because my business is doing well and my bank status is good, right? My health is good. I'm blessed. I have the things that I want and need. My future looks good. I'm blessed. But for Jesus, the path to the blessed life doesn't revolve around those things. Those things may or may not come into your existence. But like we've said, the person who is blessed, it includes the one who's persecuted, the one who's meek, the one who mourns, the one who's poor in spirit. And it's like he's saying, listen, even in a world where you find yourself being persecuted on the outside, looking in, when you find yourself desperate, when you seem to have nothing, you can live a life that is blessed. And that's revolutionary thinking. So being blessed isn't those things that we think of in terms of our finances and our family and our health and our future. What is it? And as we read through these words of Jesus, we find out pretty quickly that being blessed has something to do with God, specifically our connection to God and our relationship with God. Right? Verse 3 starts this section with this curious phrase, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That has something to do with God. Down in verse 8, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And verse 10 again, it ends. It ends the way that it begins. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the revolution in our approach to seeing what being blessed means, having the best life means, it has to do with our connection to God. And not just a blessing that is down the road somewhere. That's important for us to hear and understand. Sometimes we think of the blessings of God or the life that God offers as being simply something that's later, like when we get to heaven. Just endure. Just hang in there now. It's bad now, but don't worry. One day, ultimately, it will be better. A lot of us are living that way. And it will be better one day. I want you to hear that the blessings of the life with God, the blessings that come from connection with God, we can expect them to accrue now as we move toward the ultimate future experience of God's blessing. That's why Jesus says it this way: for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not theirs will be one day the kingdom of heaven. But for these people on this blessed revolutionary path, theirs is, right now, the kingdom of heaven. And that requires a revolution in our thinking. It also requires a revolution in, as we think about how it is that we actually end up on this path. So, in the book of Matthew, Jesus says two things before he starts this Sermon on the Mount. Just two things. Two public statements. They're the first public statements Matthew has recorded from us by Jesus. And I think it's important for us to see how he leads into this description of the blessed life. So turn back in, if you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. This is the first thing that he says. All that's happened in Jesus' life in the book of Matthew so far is Christmas and his baptism. And he's been in the wilderness talking to Satan a little. But he hasn't talked to everybody yet, until now. This is the first thing that he says publicly. Listen to that, to what he says. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, that is, change, reorient, recalibrate, go in a different direction with your thinking and your life. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the groundbreaking statement. This is the way Jesus begins talking to the people of that day. The kingdom of heaven is near. And when he says that, what he means is it's so near that you can reach out. It's near. The kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven, he's not talking about a geographical kingdom. He's talking about what we would describe as a realm where God rules. The kingdom of heaven exists everywhere God has his way, where God rules, where God reigns, where God is bringing about his purposes, ultimately we'll see through Jesus Christ. That the way of living that God intends, that's the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says, it's really near. And that this is the part where it's important for us. I want you to remember, he said these things right in the middle of their crazy, violent, uncertain, turbulent world. And he says it to us too. In the midst of what you are facing, in the midst of what you are afraid of, in the midst of what you see all around you, the kingdom of heaven is right there. So close you can practically reach out and touch it. That's a revolutionary way of thinking. And then the second thing he says, jump down to verse 19, the very next thing he says to them, he says actually to a few guys that he runs into, he says, come, follow me. Change your way of thinking, because the kingdom of heaven is right here. And then he says, come, follow me. Why? Because what Matthew's going to tell us is he's the king. The reason that the kingdom of heaven is so near is because the king of heaven has come. And the whole gospel of Matthew is spelling out the ways in which Jesus demonstrates and shows that he is God's king. And so, at the very beginning, in their crazy world, he says, don't worry, repent, the kingdom of heaven is right here, come and follow me, because I am the king. I am the way, he'll say later. I am the way that you connect to and live with and live in this kingdom of heaven. And so the kingdom of heaven really is what the world looks like when King Jesus has his way. And it's so close, he says, it's come. It's here. It's started. And that's a revolution. And so what happens next is Jesus starts to demonstrate this. He starts to prove that he's the king. And verse 23 just gives some allusion to that. He says, then Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, hey, that it's here right now, in me. And, notice this, healing every disease and every sickness among the people. Okay, so do you like superhero movies? Anybody like superhero movies? Yeah, so, you know, every superhero movie, it seems like, especially the ones that come from the comic books that we read as kids, right? They all have a villain. And it always starts with the villain showing his power, right? Like when I was a kid, it was Godzilla. Right? You remember Godzilla-type movies? And now you have the Batman movies, and you have the Joker, and you have all kinds of super villains. And the movie always starts with them showing how powerful they are, showing what they can do. And then the hero shows what he can do, and then the movie ends. So that's what's happening here in the Gospel of Matthew. The king is saying, hey, I'm here. And now he's going around, and he's showing you that he's the king. One of the ways he does that is by teaching with an astounding authority. We'll see that later. But the other way is he zaps all their diseases. And the next verse tells me he's casting out their evil spirits. And this is a demonstration of the kinds of things that the king can do. He can heal your diseases. He can remove your spiritual bondage. He can release you from his holding. Okay? And so he's going around doing these things, and he gets a little bit famous. And people start to follow him. Verse 25 says, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and even the region across the Jordan, they followed him. So they hear of these demonstrations of power, these spectacles, these amazing occurrences, and a crowd begins to follow him. And then that brings us to chapter 5. Where it simply says, I don't have it on the screen, but in your Bibles in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside. And his disciples followed. And his disciples are just a few people. Right? There's this whole crowd following. And a few disciples go with him further. And then Jesus opens his mouth, and he says the things that we've read. He gives the Sermon on the Mount. see in terms of our revolution is this. The normal way of thinking about what it means to be blessed has to be turned upside down in order for us to experience what God offers. That there is a way in the midst of your crazy mixed up life, there's a path to being blessed. If you'll revolutionize your thinking and hear from Jesus when he talks about who it is that really can be blessed, we're going to talk about that in the weeks to come. It'll change your way of thinking. It'll change your life. And then he says, listen, you have to understand there's this revolution of how you get on the path, but the path is through me because I'm the King of heaven. I'm the one who can offer it and give it and do it. And so you want to follow me. And then the final part is it always requires a step away from the crowd. How many of you watched the Olympics this week? Audience participation. How many of you watched the Olympics? Okay. How many of you are going to start rowing next week? How many of you are going to start fencing next week? Right? So I'm watching the Olympics like crazy. I'm attracted to it. The spectacle and the dramatic stories and the cool events. Okay, but when it's over this week, I'm just going to go back to my regular life. That's Jesus' description of the crowd. You hear and you come and you see and you taste and you think this is cool. But when there's a call to step away, when there's a call to step further, most of you are going to go back to your regular life. But not everyone. A 7-year-old girl is going to, this week when it's all over, say to her mom, hey, can we get a horse? And a 9-year-old boy is going to say, where do I sign up for swimming? And a few are going to be inspired, and a few are going to step into this whole different way of life. And there's a sense in which I want you to see in the Sermon on the Mount that that's what Jesus is doing. He didn't speak these words to everyone. He drew those aside, those ones who said, yeah, we understand that it's a revolution. We understand that to follow you means getting on a revolutionary path. We understand that it's going to mean thinking all different things. And for them, Jesus said, okay, here's how it works. And it'll revolutionize your life. But it always takes a step away from the crowd. You can't think and live and act like everybody else and receive this life. When I was watching the swimming earlier this week, women's swim team members was coming out for her event. I think it was Lily King. And the announcer begins to talk in dramatic fashion about her life and all that she has sacrificed and all that she has given up. And he begins to list all these things. She didn't get to go to prom, and she didn't get to go to her high school dances, and she didn't get to have friends like everybody else, and she was always swimming. And in the middle of this long, dramatic list, the co-commentator, who's a former swimmer, she cuts him off and just says, it's all worth it. He didn't even get a chance to finish, and she just said, it's worth it. And I thought she was going to say, because to get a gold medal is so awesome. That's not what she said. She said, it's all worth it. Because when you walk in that room, and you see the Olympic rings, you are part of something that's unlike anything else. It's all worth it. And that's what Jesus would say to you about this revolutionary path. The decision to follow him further, to not just hang with the crowd, but to take that step further in hopes of pursuing this blessed life. It's worth it. Your life will be completely different. We've seen in the list that it's going to include being counted among those who mourn and those who are persecuted and those who suffer and those who are on the outside from the world's point of view. And the message is, it's all worth it. Why? Because that's the path to a blessed life. 9 times he says it. These are the ones who are blessed. These are the ones who have the good life. These are the ones who live and thrive even amidst the chaos and the difficulty and pain that there are. So my invitation to you today is to come and follow Jesus. To take that step away from the crowd. To come back and hear his words in the next several weeks as we talk about the Sermon on the Mount, and to see them as an invitation, to see them as the words of life, but to see them as embarking on a revolutionary path. Because we will see that the Sermon on the Mount is not just the golden rule. It's not just polite religious statements. It's revolutionary things. He's going to say things like, you know what? It's good that you don't murder people, but you can't even hate them. It's good that you don't commit adultery, but you don't even look at her that way. He's going to say, if your eye gives you trouble, pluck it out. He's going to say, be perfect, just like your heavenly Father. It's a radical, revolutionary path, but it is, I promise you, the path to the life, the blessed life. So as you go from here today, let me encourage you in this way. As you come before the Lord, you ask that question. Have you ever made the choice? Have you ever made the decision to go beyond the crowd? To go up on the mountain? To join the revolution? And what is it that God is preparing for you today or in the weeks to come as we go through this series? What is it that he's going to call you to and say, this is the place in your life that needs a little revolution? And if you'll offer yourself that way to God, I know he will meet you and he'll speak to you. Let's pray together, shall we? Jesus, we hear this call. We hear this revolutionary statement about being blessed. And it stirs something in our hearts. It stirs the reason we chose to follow you. It represents the hopes and dreams that we had of living our lives for you. And for some of that us, that's gotten a little stale, and so we want to come to you today and we want to pray that you would revolutionize our in our faith, in our lives. And for others of us, we're not even sure yet what this all means. God, we pray that you would give us understanding. And in all things, we do commit to you that our world is crazy. Our lives are uncertain. There's so many things occurring. But we hear you calling us to a life that's blessed. So revolutionize.